welcome to the FDS Bet Slip on Wednesday the 8th of June.
I couldn't have done it better myself, could I? My only disappointment with that is it's got the date in it and I can't change the date. I could do it every day. That is an FTS member's youngest child getting hold of the phone, recording a voice message and sending it to me. Changing kids' lives. Brilliant. I absolutely love it. And that's what a fantastic intro. She then sent another one saying, today we're going to discuss. And then I think Mum grabbed the phone and that was the end of that. And I got a, sorry, my youngest has grabbed my phone. Don't worry about it. No problem. Fantastic. Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Good morning. Welcome to the FTS bait slip. It's better than me. Right, get on to the golf in a minute. Let's just get a bit of... we'll do the fallout from yesterday. And then we'll do golf. Brain's gone. That's all right. The dog's just jumped on me. Missing your mum, aren't you? Missing your mum, yes. Feedback to the pod yesterday. The technical stuff, the bits to do with staking and that, I will do in the recap next episode. And then we'll move into the parts of that. Obviously, a few people have referenced and contacted me via the other bits I said in it, predominantly with groups and this, that, and the other. Look, I'm always going to defend myself against Bellins, and I'm not going to use the podcast. I've named names in the past when people have emailed in stupid things. I'll continue to do that. But when you're talking personal attacks, that's not something I'm going to hold out on Twitter or on this podcast. I will use this podcast to make people aware of it. I find it still extremely bizarre. I mean, I got sent one thread about the stuff I talk about on the podcast, going right back to the fucking cup of tea thing, which I really struggle with people having an issue with that. I mean, it was a bit of fucking fun. You don't know how to make a cup of tea. I just told you, simple as that. But I will call people out and I will use this podcast to make people aware that I know. But when I get threads like that sent to me, well, why do you listen? I'm not holding a gun to anybody's head to listen. I'm talking to myself. I'm sat in a room on my own with a dog at the minute talking to a computer. That's what I'm doing. And that is all I've done for 2 and a bit years, nearly 3 years, whatever it is. I can't even remember when I started this nonsense. Most of it is a bit of fun. A lot of it is tongue-in-cheek. I hope along the way to pass people up some information that will improve their betting and make them better. I know the kind of person I want and that I want to help forward. And I've defined that clearly over the last couple of years. But I will use this podcast to make people know I'm a... make people aware that I know about it, that if you think you're doing this little slag fest behind my back and unfortunately for you, either your group isn't as secure and lovely as you want it to be, or perhaps I'm just a fucking bit more popular than you thought I was. But either way, it doesn't really fucking matter. But I'm just using it to make you aware that I do know. My overriding message to everybody with all this is... genuinely, if you look at how you live your life, and I'm no judge on how people should live their lives, you live your life how you want to live it. If you want to sit and wank over Love Island every night, you do it, my little precious. You crack on. My point to people when they say they want to do this seriously is most people make excuses, and then when you start analysing their lives and how they spend their time, is it truly in the most fruitful way to get where you want to be? My first and only thing when I get up in the morning is, what do I have to do today to move things forward? And I'm always looking to move myself forward. If I then can use stuff then that I can bring other people forward with me, absolutely fine. I've got no problem with it. But that is all I think about when I get up. What today, I've got stuff that I want to do. I've been working really hard trying to get my new Poisson databases changed over to new Betfair team names, add in another market, get them updating easier on a process, get the whole daily process around them easier. That's what I'm choosing to do. So far this week, we are what, on Wednesday, I spent about 18 hours at it on Monday. I spent about 15, 16 hours at it yesterday, getting help here and there, having a get hold of Alistair a few times, get hold of Chrissy a few times, because I know what I'm trying to do, but it's proving harder there. I could just bin that and put a couple of movies on or watch Love Island. And that's my, one of my overriding things is people waste time. So when I talk about people commenting on big green screenshots and on Twitter when they're only betting in tenners, all I mean is focus on yourself. Stop worrying all the time what other people are doing that have absolutely no bearing on you. What I'm sitting doing, unless you're involved with me as a betting partner, what I'm doing with my life has absolutely no bearing on you whatsoever. If I choose to use it to record a podcast for an hour a day, it's got no bearing on you if you don't like listening to them. Fuck off. It really is simple, and that's the only point. And of course, with these things, because I don't name names, people are, are you talking about me? Are you talking, I hope it isn't me. If you think it's you, you know whether it's you or not, because you know how you behave. I don't know how you behave. It's like the horoscope thing. One of the greatest fucking travesties in human beings is that they believe horoscopes. I mean, I just find it, when I look at things that try and explain the fucking idiocy of human beings, horoscopes is right up there. Sam does it. Sam, one of the first questions that Sam asks somebody when she meets them, when are you born? And every single time I roll my eyes, oh, here we go. Roll my eyes. She sees me do it. Oh, shut up. Because horoscopes are just fucking ambiguous bollocks that, if you read into it, you can apply, oh yeah, yeah, I did do that. You find some tenuous fucking link to apply it to you. That's how they're written. All over the world, every day in newspapers, whatever. Complete and utter fucking shite. That is what it is. Complete and utter fucking shite. Apologies if I offend anybody who thinks that fucking looking up at the stars and saying I was born on April the fucking 24th, my life's going to be like that, finds that relevant. You're a fucking idiot. I make no apologies for that, but if you want to believe it, again, carry on, me old precious, you crack on. But obviously, when I make, and that's how I see that Islam. If you're then, the people who are doing this are well fucking aware of who they are. What? It's like Boris, he was sorry, he wasn't sorry until he got caught. You're only now fucking worrying in case you've been fucking caught and you don't know. Who's he know? Because I don't name names. You'll fucking know if I've got a problem with you. Don't worry about it. You'll be fucking fully, fully aware of it. But the rest of you sort of, is it me? You know whether it's you or not. Just stop reading the ambiguity into it. It's not a widespread thing. It's not 100, 200 people. It's two or three fucking idiots that will ultimately, you know, I'll deal with it. It's my issue, nobody else's. The overriding thing is stop wasting your fucking time worrying what other people are doing. You know, everything, I keep saying it, excuses. You know, I talk to people about food and weight loss and diets, and it's always just fucking excuses why they don't lose weight. I'm not talking about the people who can eat a fucking burger and go to the gym and burn it. I'm talking about people who live a fairly sedentary lifestyle. My lifestyle's fairly sedentary. If I want to lose weight, one of the things I have to do is exercise more. I'm not a gym goer, I'm not a runner, but I walk more. So I'll walk, rather than walking the dog 1 mile, I'll walk 2 miles, and then I'll walk 3 miles. I'll just lengthen it. I'll do more walks in a day. But it's the people, I've had a Big Mac, I've had a bag of Revels, I can't understand why I'm not losing weight. You're not fucking serious about it. You're not serious, just make excuses. Everything's just a fucking excuse. And that's all. I think the whole over round to be successful at anything, including punting, you've just got to look at completely how you live your life. And yeah, I've got opinions and people will disagree with them. That's absolutely fine. Turn the fucking thing off. I think I'm right on a lot of issues. I think a lot of people know I'm right on a lot of issues. The bottom line is people never want to look at themselves for things. They want to blame the fucking world. That's where we live. There you go. Anyway, that got more fucking animated than I wanted it to. Let's get to the golf. Let's get to the fucking golf. 99.99% of you are absolutely fucking lovely. There you are. You don't need to worry about it. Chillax. Listen to the pod every week. I'll continue to entertain you. I'm not going to stop. You know, I know people, can you stop doing the politics? No. The guy's a fucking wanker. And I stand up for what I believe is right. And this is fucking fundamentally wrong, what's going on. It is fundamentally wrong. It's embarrassing. I wrote another email to my MP yesterday just saying how fucking embarrassing this is. People are losing all dignity and self-respect over this. the bollocks they're coming out with to defend a fucking idiot. It's just incredible. Incredible. Anyway, on to the golf. No, not onto the golf. I've got to do it. Mark Splott. I forgot, son. Mark Manfield from Splott in Cardiff. I hope you're well. And to all our other Welsh listeners, don't know whether we got any left after I told them to blow the bridge up. Maybe not many. Well done to Welsh Wales. Well done. I, for one, I'm glad you got through. I said it when Ukraine played Scotland. It's tragic, absolutely fucking horrific what that fucking Russian fucking idiot is doing in Ukraine. Horrific. And of course it would be fantastic for Ukraine and great for the people of Ukraine to have them at the World Cup. But Wales haven't been there for 64 years. I think it's a fantastic achievement to get there. I don't know whether there's sheep allowed in Qatar. Are they allowed? I don't know. Are you? I hear that it was all down to Spurs. Ben Davies apparently was absolutely fantastic from everything I see in that match. And the keeper apparently played a blinder. People again posting XG. Fucking bollocks. It's bollocks. Wales won the fucking game. Wales scored. Fucking Ukraine didn't. Simple as that. And defending and goalkeeping is part of the game. We're starting to talk as if, you know, I said it about, who did I say it about? Was it, the Courtois in the Champions League final. People are talking like they're not players. Oh, well, if we're only focusing now on five players, the people who score goals, fuck the rest of them. It's fucking mad. Part of the game is defending. There's equal satisfaction, I'm sure, for Welsh supporters seeing, from what I've read, players throwing bodies in front of the ball, defending, keeper making saves. They're on the pitch for that reason. That's what they're for. That is part of the game. So to say they're lucky and this, that and the other, they're there to defend, and they've defended, and they've stopped Ukraine scoring. Stick your fucking XG right up your fucking cavity and let's move on. Well done, Wales. On you go. There. Let's get out there. Best of luck to them. Anyone who criticise them, put them in the old stocks and bash them with some leeks. There we go, getting whipped with leeks. That's what happened to me if I ever go to Wales. You should blow our bridge up, fucking whip you with leeks. Right, well done, Wales. Fantastic, top stuff. And news of Bale and Ramsey going to Cardiff can't happen, surely, can it? Can it? Surely. One to Cardiff, one to Swansea, that's what you want, isn't it? Level it up a bit. Get one in Cardiff, one in Bale to Swansea, Ramsey to Cardiff. Right, see, I talk awful on here, don't I? Is he talking about me? Is that you? I hope you weren't meaning me in that podcast. I'm in a WhatsApp group. Crack on with your WhatsApp groups. Crack on. Just don't mention me. You don't need to talk about me. I'm not in your life. You don't need to talk about me. That's the bit I don't get. Why do people talk about things that they don't need to fucking talk about? Another thing, spend life talking about other people all the time. Fucking little gossip mongers. Fuck off. Talk about your own fucking life and sort your own bits out. I'm perfectly fine in mine. Fucking lovely. Right, where are we? We're back in Canada for the first time since 2019. Izzy is looking at me like I am absolutely fucking mental. Yes, mum's home soon. Don't know when, but hopefully Friday. Definitely be home by Friday. Who knows? Right, perhaps we should just leave her there. She is giving me a box of looks, this dog. I think she's had enough of me. 5-6 weeks of me on my own. Right, we're back in Canada for the 2019 RBC, Royal Bank of Canada, Canadian Open at St. George's Golf Club. They haven't played it here. Well, they haven't played since 2019. It hasn't been played for the last couple of years because of COVID. And it's a course rotation event this, so they are back at St. George's Golf Club, which hasn't been visited since 2010 when Carl Pettersson won it. I guess I'd better just say congrats to Billy Horschel last week. Took the Memorial by the scruff of the neck. He's been playing quite well, actually, but I didn't see that as being his track, I'll be honest. But he took it by the scruff of the neck on Saturday. He was still good value. Odds on Sunday morning, 5 clear. He is a good front runner. Unfortunately for me, all I can picture when I see him is that stupid, silly West Ham bag he had at Wentworth. But this is the week before a major. It's never the best week, punting wise, I think. you've had US Open qualifying at 9 venues on Monday, so obviously players had that in their mind, and then they would have to get to the Canada venue, so they wouldn't get there till Tuesday. So that's delayed some players. We've got the US Open next week, the next major. So you've got players, obviously, with one eye on that. And then to throw everything else in the mix, we've now got the start of the first week of the 54, the LIV, Saudi Arabian tournament, and all the noise that that is bringing with it, both sides of the Atlantic. You know, it's a distraction to the tour in general. You've got players resigning now from the PGA Tour, Johnson, Nahr, a few others, making any sort of punishments that the tour want to dish out are relevant. The US, the majors aren't run by the tours, so the USGA run the US Open, and they're not taking any action, right, if so, in my view. You know, the players have qualified long before this event, so should be entitled to play, but you expect to see more players. I expect to see more players drip over to this tour now. You know, as I've said it a couple of times, there's a load of hypocrisy around this. The European tour been going to Saudi Arabia. America sell arms to Saudi Arabia. It's all fucking entwined. You know, we've golf events in China. They're fucking horrific. And all of a sudden jumping on these bandwagons. I don't agree with any of it fully. I think the Saudi Arabian regime, it is purely sports washing. You know, I've said that. You know, I go back, so I'm not going to do the Qatar World Cup, not for me. I think the whole everything is going down the plug hole. But ultimately, the players want it to be about the golf. I thought Graham McDowell in his press conference yesterday was absolutely fucking horrific. You know, and that's the thing. Again, you just want a bit of, just say it. We're here for the cash. Just that's all you got to say. We're here to play golf, and we're going to make a ton of money for it. And if you asked about the other stuff, just say, don't really know much about it. It's not for me. I understand why people disagree, but I'm just here to play golf and make a load of money. At least you know where it is. Just take the cash, Graham. Not fucking trying to use... He's using phrases like geopolitical. He didn't have a fucking clue what he was on about. You know, the Saudis will not walk away from this. So, you know, they're going to throw money at it. Graham McDowell is going to help the Saudis get to where they want to be. For me, it's just the fallout I'm interested in. Obviously, you've got Mickelson turned up yesterday. I think he's going to do a press conference today. You're going to see some really interesting press conferences over this week and next week, as they all scramble to try and justify this there. And when it is for the players, it's just about fucking massive amounts of money. The golf, for me, I can't see it being that great when the bottom guy's guaranteed 120 grand. You know, that's the area that you just think, what's the golf? I mean, one, they haven't got a great field. You know, it's like a sort of twilight of your career sort of event at the minute. But I'm sure they will attract other players. I'm certain they will attract new young players coming out of college and things. It will be interesting to see what the competition's like. But I'm, you know, I always make a note in moments like this, make a note of what everybody's saying. And when this thing is dominating golf in 5 years' time, what, just go back and play some of these comments to yourself and see what they're saying then, because the hypocrisy and the bollocks you're going to hear over the next 4 or 5 years over this will be amazing. One of the things that I am interested in is how it affects the Ryder Cup. As of yet, the DP World Tour, European Tour, been really quiet. I haven't barely said a word. The PGA Tour have obviously said they are going to penalise people, once a ball's been hit, and we'll learn more about that. But as I say, players are just resigning. But if they stick to this line, particularly more players go, they stick to this line of being reported that if you play in this, you can't be eligible for the Ryder Cup. So as it stands, Dustin Johnson, if that holds firm, Graham McDowell, Garcia, wouldn't be eligible for the Ryder Cup, wouldn't be eligible to be Ryder Cup captains. If that is a line that they stick to, you could see the Ryder Cup become a right Mickey Mouse event in a few years' time. It'd be interesting to see how this plays out. And you may well see from the tours a lot of climbing down. My view is that the new kids are in town, and they ain't going away. So You've got a slow trickle of players switching at the minute. I mean, we've already seen, I think Pat Perez was in the Canadian Open. He suddenly tweeted that he's not. I think he's heading over for this. So I think you're going to just see a waterfall of players eventually if they know they can make fortunes. And as I say, particularly play the majors. I think that's what, you know, well, it will fall down ultimately to, I do think they want to play the majors and get the legacy of that. And then make as much money as they can elsewhere. And it looks like the Saudis have going to be that platform. I am really interested, you know, as I say, just on a sort of more on a human psychology level of watching how this all plays out more than any particular effect to me. I enjoyed watching the Memorial, but a lot of the golf I don't watch because I find it just boring. But I can't see this event being something that I will be tuning into. I mean, it hasn't got a TV deal, but it will at some time. But back to this week's event, as I say, sponsored by RBC. They should have a few more shekels to throw at it this week because they sponsored McNeil and Johnson and they have binned them from their sponsorship arm. So save themselves a few quid, they can lob into this tournament. St. George's is a par 70. It's a Nat's Cock over 7,000 yards. The greens are fairly small, 4,000 square feet, and they've changed them. They used to be a mix of grasses, bent grass and fescue, I think it was in 2010, but they've gone back to pure bent. So we really are on a run of pure bent grass greens at the minute. It's rained this week. I think it's going to continue to rain up until the event, and no wind of merit. So you can have a soft course, which for these guys is heaven. So you could see some low scores because obviously they just fly out of the flag and the ball sticks with the soft greens. Par fives are all comfortably reachable comfortably. Pettersson shot 60 when winning here in 2010. So they're the sort of scores that are capable of round here. And I think this week it's going to be down to good approach play. There are some tiers in the greens. And hot with the putter on these bent greens. So I think they're the two areas that you want to be looking at. I think putting will be really key. It could be a right shootout with the putter, particularly if it's soft. No surprise, Scheffler 10 heads the betting at 10.0 on Betfair. Finished second at the Charles Schwab, losing a playoff. I think when he made the playoff, he automatically thought he was going to win. Whatever you say, the lad is just having an amazing year. You know, a bad result for him is losing in a playoff. He is strong in every category, as you will be when you're doing what he's doing. I've got no doubt you get a run for your stake if playing. You know, he will have one eye on the US Open. He's going to want to go into that with hot form. You know, it's one of these. It's up to you if you want to get involved at 10. Price is probably about right. And this guy, you know, he couldn't be ruled out from fucking winning Wimbledon if he entered it at the minute. He's just having some year. And he's rightly favourite. And I imagine he will be up there. It's just his game, all parts of his game are strong. McIlroy, 11.5. 18th last week, and much the same from me as I said last week. I just can't back him at these prices. He is a former RBC winner, but not here. Of course he can win. Say this pretty much every week about some of these guys. But I can't be backing Rory McIlroy at 1.5 points above Scheffler. You've got one guy who's winning for absolute fun, and another guy just doesn't get it done. As I say, when I start seeing 20s about him, then I would be without a doubt getting involved. He's playing well, but not winning. You know, he's 18th last week. He's 5th, 8th, 10th, 13th, 18th. You know, it's that sort of golf. Certainly not one I'd be lumping on a win at 11.5. Thomas is then 12th USPGA win a few weeks back. Obviously followed that up with a miscut. You know, played awfully, and I thought after the first round he can't play that bad again, and he actually did. You know, but it's the week after he's just won a major, so you can excuse that. And then he's had a week off. He is 10th in shots gained approach, 48th in putting. at the prices this week, again with the US Open around the corner, again at 12, I'm just one I'm happy to look elsewhere. at the prices. Another one, he could win it. Sure, he'll be there, thereabouts, somewhere up there. But I don't want to get involved at 12. Cam Smith, 13.5. The 77 he shot on Sunday at the Memorial. I mean, that may well be the worst round this lad has played in, I don't know, 24 months plus. And no real idea where it came from. He was favourite for the tournament, much of the running. You know, when it went in play, played well the first day, hit the market favourite down to about 4.5. And then Horschel obviously took over Saturday with his 65. So I just don't know where the 77 came from. You know, he is eighth in shots gained putting, second in shots gained approach, fantastic putter. Iron player, can't be ruled out, you know, and of those mentioned so far, you know, he's a likely winner. It's, again, do you want to get involved at 13.5? I think of all of them, he's a tradable price because, you know, if you look at what we did with the horse racing at the weekend, Andy's 50-30 method, I think this guy could fall in that bracket where you could back him at 13.5, take your stake out 30% less, green up 50% less. It's difficult. Difficult for me not to see him up there on this course. And you know, at that price, obviously, if he shoots a good round, you're going to be looking again around about four. So then you've got to make a decision. Do you want to get involved in that price with three rounds to go? It's not a backable price for me at 13.5, but I couldn't put you off entering now with a bit of a trade for it. I'm pretty sure that the 77 on Sunday was a bit of a blip and you'd be able to get your money out, you know, even if it was for a small loss. But he's playing so well and the course should suit him this week. Sam Burns, 18.5. You sort of look at the first one, then you look at this guy, he's probably not a household name, but he's racking up the wins. Beat Scheffler in that playoff. The minus 90 post at the Charles Schwab. Didn't think myself it would be good enough. Somebody in the Telegram group put Burns minus 9 might be the target. I always thought that somebody, Scheffler, one of them would have got to 10 minimum. But they didn't. The players fell away. Made the playoff, went and won it. You know, and he's a won well over the last 2 years and what, four or five wins. 12th in shots gained putting, shots gained approach, sorry. 19th in putting, 7th shot gained overall. He is a streaky player. When he's playing well, he does tend to do so for a few weeks. I went back to October last year and he went he won. Then he was 14th, 5th, 7th, 3rd, 2nd, 19th. So everything was in the top 20, you know, four top fives. And then he missed three cuts on the bounce. And he's seemed to do a bit better on these bent grass greens. Good player, good stats. Certainly one I can see in a mix this week. Better price, you know, obviously 18.5. So it's one that is on the radar for trading. So Smith would be one you could set up as a 50-30. This is a guy in the notebook for, let's see how he gets going. I think he'll be up there, Burns. Matt Fitzpatrick, 20. I'll say it now. I said it's going to take him a while to get over the USPGA. I think he's got a great chance next week in the US Open at Brookline. The course will suit him. It's where he won the US Amateur. If he can put that experience of the USPGA, you know, to good, as in learn from it and analyse what he did wrong, then I think he'll have a good week. I'm not certain he'll win it, but I think you know what we need to see with this lad is the W. He wants to see it to get the monkey off his back, you know, across on the PGA Tour, yet to win there. He missed the cut last week. He's not on my radar for this week. Cue the win. I do think the course will be okay for him, but I'm more interested in seeing him almost double the price next week. Obviously, if he wins this week, that price will come in. But I think you'll just see a good, solid week from him. And I think he will be one who, having been in contention at the major now, has we'll have a sniff of it, and we'll look at next week on a course he's won the US Amateur, as I say, and really think I've got a good chance. Fantastic golf course that is, that next week, that Brookline. I hope they set it up as they used to for the old Opens in the sort of late 80s, 90s. I think it was Faldo and Strange who did battle round there. A fantastic golf course, looking forward to that next week. But yeah, Matt, not one on my radar straight out the bat next week. Obviously see how he starts, but you know, you can get double the price on him next week, so that would be more where I'd be looking. Lowry, I mentioned him a lot. Obviously he's been up in the top 10 of the betting for a lot. I'm just wondering whether we've all missed the boat, and he's missed the boat. Played really well for a number of weeks without getting it done, you know, top fives, top tens, and then he was 23rd at the PGA, 32nd last week. You know, you can't keep playing at unless you are Nicholas Woods, you can't keep churning it out week in, week out, 52 weeks a year. I just wonder if we're going to see a bit of a decline in his game now. You know, he's got good solid stats. Short game hasn't been where it should be for him. But given that his form seems to be going the wrong way now, again, he's one that at 21 certainly I could pass up. So another one, I will see how he starts, but I've not really got him in my plans or on my radar this week. Corey Connors, 24, sure to be of interest back in, he is Canadian, so back in his homeland. I love this guy's ball striking. Not sure this is the best track for him. I think, as I say, shots gained approach and putting will be key. He's 37th in the former, which is not disastrous, but 91st in the latter. I think on small soft greens against the field that you're playing against, you're going to need to be red hot with the blade this week to be in the hunt. I'm sure he'll give a good account of himself in his home nation, but I don't see him as the winner this week. I've got a cough. Let's have a cup of tea, a proper cup of tea, made and steeped properly. Right, there we go. Do you want about the fucking tea again? Why is he talking about tea? Why don't he fucking get on with the betting? Just give me some tips. What does he actually do for us? Tony Finau, 32. Tony's starting a trend, Bella, after what's been a, you know, he was a perennial runner-up, then he won, thought that'll push on. He actually has gone backwards, so it's been a really quiet period for him. His putting has been horrific, down in 168th, but when you look at the Charles Schwab, he did actually putt better, and that's one of the things. When you look at these season stats, that's fine, but you've got to try and identify when players are starting to go up those stats and get it back. So the 168 really is based on the form he's shown through the start of the year. He definitely putted better at the Charles Schwab. He was positive SG against the field in the last three rounds. He found two shots on the field putting in round four. Good ball striker, good iron player. If the flat stick is behaving, I honestly think that Tony could be one to keep an eye on this week. He could be competing. One to watch in the putting in round one. You know, I mean, when he's bad, he's bad. If they're not touching the hole, just, you know, run for the hills, and if you've got a betting slip on it, you might as well put it in the bin. But if he's putting well, they're going in, they are touching the hole from 15, 18, 20 feet, then he could be in for a big week. I just think he's heading in the right direction. You know, and he's been getting better over the last three, four tournaments. One tournament doesn't make it, but he definitely putted better at the Charles Schwab, and I think that we could see a slight, you know, a chance at the prices that he'll be in the mix. And then the final top 10 is again price 32, Tyrrell Hatton, and another playing okay without sort of bubbling fully to the top. I think it's another one. This could be a good week for him here. He's second in padding overall. Another one, his stats have trended upwards the last few weeks. Positive in all the main stats on the PGA Tour. Gaining a shot on the field, padding and approach. Soft greens are doing well. Good iron player, putting well. I just think everything golf-wise is in his favour. He's another one, he can beat himself. He's prone to the odd tantrum. And I always feel, if I was putting any money on him, that you know, you've got to keep your head. It's how I sort of feel about Rahm. If you don't keep your head on, the players around you are so good that you're just not going to beat them. So he's got to keep his head. You know, golf is a game that it's easy to have a tantrum at and lose your brain. But I think you've just got to be a bit more of a battler. And he can be. He's shown when he's been in contention that he can battle. You know, last year he was second the week before the US Open. So I don't see him being a US Open winner next week. So I think this could be a good week for him. So I definitely one on the radar for me, Tyrrell Hatton. I think we could see a good week from Tyrrell. As I say, the only question mark is that he keeps his head. Outside that, obviously, with a little course form, it's not somewhere where we're coming back to. You know, 12 years since they were last here. It's not the easiest event to get a handle on. Harold Varner has been playing well. But after that collapse 2 weeks back, that last round, I mean, it was like watching Suggsy play. I couldn't touch him. Canadians going back home, you've got Hadwin, who has been playing well, and Mackenzie Hughes. They're definitely of interest. There's definitely, you know, players want to perform well in their home opens, in their home countries. Hughes is particular interest for me at 85. On the exchange, Hadwin's about 40, you know, double the price on Mackenzie Hughes. He's been playing well, and the course I think should suit, and his caddy apparently knows it well. And once I get past that, most I can put a line through. Keith Mitchell played well last week, but his approach play all year is poor. Chris Kirk, a lot of talking about, not for me. Munoz is putting poorly. I mean, he could be one. Munoz, he loves a good first round. He could be your first round leader. I think he's got the best of the weather tomorrow afternoon. It's just not a great pre-event betting heat, so I'm really happy to keep my powder dry, make some notes in round one and see if anything pans out after that. My flyer for the week is Patrick Rogers at 240, straight off a missed cut at the Memorial. But I'm going to dismiss that. I don't think the golf course suits him. And this will suit him better. And the 4 weeks pre-Memorial, he actually was playing really well and posted some good numbers. So I'm going to dismiss last week. He's yet to win on the tour. So, as I say, you're betting at 240. He's one that could maybe spring a surprise. So that's sort of where I'm at. I think Cam Smith is a, you know, if you like that 50-30 trade, I think Cam Smith sets up nicely perhaps for one of those. Sam Burns, I think, will be up there. Connors and Finau and Hatton, sorry, at 32, definitely on the radar. And then I've really, Mackenzie Hughes, you know, small sniff at 85 in his home country. If you like a first round lead a bit, I couldn't put you off Munoz. He's had a couple of 60s, I think, already this year in first rounds. But that's, you know, that's just a side mention. And the flyer of the week, Patrick Rogers at 240. It may be an event I don't get involved in on Friday. I'm literally going to see how this first day plays out. And then I'll go from there. And then the US Open next week. What I'm going to do with the US Open next week is obviously try and do an in-depth preview. And that will be an event I want to try and do some trade recordings and put in the Telegram group. You know, with no football on, I should be able to sit down and do that over that sort of Friday, Saturday, Sunday of the US Open. Really looking forward to that one. So that's it. Off you go. I haven't got any children finishing it off. It's great, wasn't it? I'm not sure kids should be listening to my podcast, I'll be fair. But there you go. But I do thank you ever so much, my little young friend, for the intro. It has made my day. It did make me chuckle this morning. Right, have a lovely, what is it? Wednesday. This is 999. Next time you hear from me, I'll be giving a grand away, but not to any fucking idiots. I'll be giving it to somebody who I want to give it to. Have a lovely Wednesday, and I'll speak to you all soon.